You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
If there's one message that I would want to give you in this season, the season of uncertainty, in this season where fear is prevalent, in this season where the devil is trying to intimidate believers, if I could share with you just one message, it would be this. Now is not the time to give up or throw in the towel. It's not the time for you to throw up your hands and allow yourself to be defeated. I know it feels like times won't get better and that your life is in shambles, but trust in God. He can turn it around. I want to encourage you and let you know that despite what you are going through, God sees you and He hears your earnest cry. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 13, "The Lord will make you the head and you will not be the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord, your God, that I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom." You see, children of the Most High God, God loves and cares for His people. Despite what the enemy wants you to believe, God is still on the throne, loving and looking out for His people. I know it seems as if your world is falling apart and the enemy will lead you to believe that things will never turn around, but trust God. God loves us so much that we cannot be separated from His love by these small tests and trials. The enemy wants us to falter in our faith and allow his spirit of defeat to take over. But the devil is a liar, and he is the one that is defeated. The Bible says in Romans 8, verses 35 through 37, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Did you know that these trials of our faith come to make us strong? Yes, we as people of God must endure hard trials sometimes. We must grow in our faith, people of God. How can we expect to be able to know God and never experience truly knowing God? How can we be witnesses of His excellent mercy and kindness unless we experience it firsthand? How can we say that we love and serve a God that is more than enough if we don't experience His mighty hand of deliverance for ourselves? Just because we are children of the King does not mean that we will walk on a bed of roses. It doesn't mean that we get a get-out-of-jail-free card all the time. Sometimes we must endure hardship as a good soldier. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." The Lord wants us to be well-rounded. He doesn't want His saints to be spoiled brats. Can you imagine getting everything you wanted all the time? We would never be able to appreciate anything. We would be just like kids that always get what they want and then pitch a fit when we're told no. God does not want us like that. Being children of God does not make us immune to the sufferings of this world. This reminds me of a man in the Bible who feared God and walked uprightly before Him and hated evil. His name was Job. Job was very wealthy and had 7 sons and 3 beautiful daughters. He was a man with perfect character. He prayed for his family daily, even asking God for forgiveness of sins that they may have committed. Now, the adversary, as usual, hates the people of God. He cannot stand us and is always seeking whom he may devour. However, God loved Job and even bragged on him to the devil. He said that there was none like Job in all the earth. He was honest, hated evil, and was a man of absolute integrity. So, the devil told God, "Of course he does. He doesn't serve and fear you for nothing. You put a hedge about him and his house and everything he owns. You even blessed everything he puts his hands to do and made him very wealthy. If you take everything away from him, he will curse you to your face." The Lord told Satan, "All right, everything that he has is in your hands now. However, you are not allowed to take his life." Of course, the devil did his absolute worst. All in one day, Job lost his sons and his daughters, servants and cattle. Job couldn't even catch his breath because the bad news kept coming back to back. Do you know what Job did? He got on his knees and worshiped.
This podcast is sponsored by Delete Me. Would you just give your house key to criminals? Having your personal information on the internet is like giving a thief the key to your home. They can take everything that's valuable to you anytime. But joindeleteme.com can help you protect yourself. Online data brokers compile information about you and sell it to people who could ruin your life. But joindeleteme.com scours the web, removes the personal information you don't want seen, and reduces the risk of data brokers, scammers, identity thieves, even political enemies getting personal information that could hurt you, your family, or your reputation. You'll get regular reports detailing what they find and remove. And joindeleteme.com isn't just AI. They have real people working to keep your data safe. Keep your private life private with joindeleteme.com. Sign up today and get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/protect. Go to joindeleteme.com/protect. That's joindeleteme.com/protect.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
He blessed the name of the Lord and did not sin or curse God. This made the devil even more angry, so he went to God again and asked, could he make Job sick? God allowed it, but told the devil again that he may not take his life. Of course, the devil did his worst and gave Job great boils all over his skin, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. It was so bad that even his wife told Job to curse God and die. He looked so awful that even his friends did not recognize him. In all of this, Job said, "Shall we only receive good from God and not bad?" Now, Job, being human, did feel sorry for himself and even cursed the day he was born. But in all of this, he still did not curse God. In the end, despite all that the adversary did to him, God blessed him with double for his trouble. He received more cattle than he had before, had more beautiful children, and all his wealth was increased even more. Sometimes, this is just like what happens in our lives. Saints, God knows all and he sees all. Could it be that the Lord is testing your faith? Could it be that the devil sees how much you love God and the Lord himself mentions you by name because of your faithfulness to him? My brothers and sisters, we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. We are more than conquerors through Christ that loves us. Thank God that he has provided us godly examples of real people in the Bible that have gone through the fire and came out as pure gold. It is because of examples like Job that helped give me hope during the testing of my faith. I know what it feels like to go through and feel like, when will it be my turn? Some of you right now are experiencing this very thought. I am here to encourage you and let you know to be of good courage, for God will strengthen your heart. God knows where you are, and he knows when you have suffered long enough. He will not allow you to continue to be on the bottom. He loves you too much. The Bible says that we are the head only and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. Lift up your head, children of God, because he loves you and he wants to see you succeed. We may have to go through the fire and the flood, but rest assured that he sees you right where you are. Trust God and in his word. Stand firm on the promises of God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Oh, what blessed assurance. I want you to know that we are not without hope, like the children in the world that do not know God. Your Father in heaven owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Your Father in heaven sits on the circle of the earth and judges the just and the unjust. The Lord your God is the one who called this earth into being and placed the stars in space. Don't you know the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous? We are not without hope, people of God. Jesus loves you and cares for you. He wants to see his people prosper. It gives him joy when we are happy. Yes, we may have to cry sometimes, but trouble does not last always. So lift up your heads, saints of the Most High God. The best is yet to come. Don't give up.
Dare to believe. In this season in your life, in this place where you find yourself right now, I may not be able to speak directly to your circumstances. I certainly do not have the power to change those circumstances you find yourself in. But here's what I can do. I can encourage you to dare to believe. Dare to believe God for the impossible. Dare to believe him from the innermost depths of your heart. Don't be defeated by what you face. Dry your weeping eyes. Get up. Plant your feet firmly on the ground, dust yourself off, and dare to believe that Jesus Christ can move mountains. Dare to believe that this situation you're in, this tough place, has to work out in your favor. Things have to turn around for your good. So dare to believe. Don't push that panic button, because it shall be well in your house. Don't push that panic button, because there is hope. There is a way out in the midst of devastation. The devil may come in like a flood. The storm may rise and the winds may blow, but the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. So your test may be trying, but I want you to know that your test did not come to break you. It did not come to take away anything from you, but it came to make you stronger. Your test came to make you stronger. Dare to believe.
We all have our flaws. But rather than beat yourself up about your imperfections, your weaknesses, your shortcomings, I want you to see yourself through the eyes of God. God sees you and considers you to be precious, so precious that he sent his son to provide the way for you to get back to where you belong, which is in right standing and sweet fellowship with him. God sees you not only as what you are, but as what you are becoming. The command is to walk or live by what God has to say about you, not by the opinions of man. In Jesus, you should see yourself living free of guilt and shame from the enemy, free from condemnation. In Jesus, you should see yourself living free from confusion, anger, and fear, but instead live in peace with boldness and self-control. See yourself healed and restored. And for anyone struggling to see themselves through the eyes of the Lord, take Jesus to the place your heart was broken. Take him to the place where you were hurt. Take him to that place where you heard the stinging criticism that cut you to the core. Because the Bible says he makes the brokenhearted well and puts oil on their wounds. There's no pit so deep that God can't lift you out of it and dust you off. There's nothing so dark that God's light can't shine into.
To trust God in the light is nothing. But to trust God in the dark, that is faith. True faith is keeping your eyes on God when the whole world around you is falling apart. Now, the best quote about faith comes from Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." I wonder how many Christians across the ages have tried to move mountains based on this verse. You see, faith plays a huge role in the Bible. Whether it's in the Old or New Testament you're reading, faith is paramount. It's a central theme in Scripture. The book of Hebrews traces the faith of the great biblical heroes across the generations, from Abel to Abraham to Moses to David, and how they overcame great obstacles to accomplish the purposes God had for them. But just what is faith? What does it mean? How do we get it? And what does it mean to live by faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1 tells us that, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." This suggests to us that faith is not necessarily something tangible. It's not something you can put your hands on and control. Faith is the substance of hope and the evidence of the unseen. This means to me that if you can see it, it isn't faith. If you can explain it or control it, it isn't faith. Most of us try to orchestrate and control everything in our lives until we are faced with things outside of our control. And the truth is, most important things in our life are out of our control. We can eat healthy, exercise, and not smoke, but disease can still come knocking on our door. We can build magnificent buildings and structures, but we still must bow to the power of a tornado, hurricane, or earthquake. These things remind us that we are not in control. But I want you to understand that it's during times like these, when we feel out of control, that we are reminded of the purpose of faith. Faith enables us to be comfortably out of control. Even though we cannot control things like disease, nature, or death, we have faith that God has a plan and that God will have the last word.
God will never let you slip. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus is King, and He invites you to come to Him for rest. The Bible says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Troubles can be a blessing for believers. You see, God uses our troubles to remind us that He is a deliverer. He is a savior. He is our hope and rescue. God is faithful to empower you to stand strong and victorious and not to be defeated. Understand that we are overcomers. The first principle to receiving a victory from God is to understand that He has already won. The battle has already been fought and He has already won. If we could only understand this, we have the victory. We have overcome. And yeah, it's a battle sometimes to be a Christian. But we know that Christ told us to take up our cross and follow Him. As we do this, we receive the rewards of victory in Jesus.
What gives me hope and encouragement is Isaiah 43 verse 2, which says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you."
When problems arise, when battles are before us, when we experience spiritual warfare, the Word of God has to be a source of constant reassurance to us. It must be that which ignites the fire in our faith. It must kickstart your hope and belief so that regardless of what you're facing, despite the size of the enemy, despite whatever is taking place in our lives, we have a divine and heavenly insurance policy, which is the Word of God. We're backed by angelic forces that come to our aid when we shout the name of Jesus in desperate need of help. We have security in our Father's faithfulness. He has never lost a battle. He has never been defeated, nor can he ever be defeated. So lift up your head high, woman of God. Keep your head high, man of God. The battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. This fight before you is one that you should fight on your knees and not with your fists. This fight before you is not one that you should be fighting with your own strength, but it's one that you should be fighting with God's word. So when you find yourself in a battle, I encourage you not to entertain the devil's attacks. Don't tolerate them. We have victory in the name of Jesus. We have victory in God's word. We have victory, and so we should declare and speak with authority God's word.
As we grow older and become more mature Christians, we are called to be equipped with the weapons that God has given us. We are called to put on the whole armor of God. And the question I want to ask you is, have you answered that call? Have you answered the call to put on the whole armor of God? Have you answered the call to pray without ceasing? Have you answered the call to pray always? You see, in this battle, we have an unseen enemy. It's not a thief. It's not the nightmare neighbor from hell. It's not the workplace bully. Our unseen enemy can only be revealed in the spiritual realm, with the eyes of faith. He can only be identified through the spiritual eyes of discernment, and he can only be fought through prayer.
When God formed me in the womb of my mother, he had everything planned. He knew my strengths. He knew my weaknesses. He considered which storms to allow me to go through, and he also considered which storms to shield me from. He shaped me, and he placed within me gifts that only I can be blessed with. He assigned me a purpose that only I can fulfill for his will. God is like an architect who calculated everything while you and I were being formed in our mother's wombs. Now, the thing is, we need to recognize and accept this. We need to have an attitude that says, since God orders my steps, and since he is allowing me to face this storm, then he has given me everything I need to withstand, everything I need to survive it, and everything I need to overcome. So before you waver, before you're shaken by whatever you face today, remember who is in your corner. Remember who you can call to your aid. Remember the one who has given you power and authority to speak his name. Oh, it's the name above all other names. And that name is Jesus Christ.
Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Those are the words of Jesus Christ in John chapter 14, verse 1. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have every reason not to be troubled. You have every reason not to be anxious or worried within your heart.
What I do know is at one point or another, life will place you in a position where you need help. You might need help with a child. You might need help casting out a demon. You might need help overcoming a challenge. I know that one way or another, you will need help. But here's the thing. Getting help from people, it often comes with strings attached. When someone helps you out, it's not always for free. It comes with the expectation of either, you remember what I did for you, or one day I might need your help, so just remember this favor. However, I have good news. There is a God who offers you help with no strings attached. There is a God in heaven who will offer you aid. He will give you support without any pressure or any expectation that you could ever pay him back. In fact, David spoke about the help offered by God by saying in Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
The life of a Christian isn't easy. Jesus himself said that in this life, we will have trouble. But he commands us to take heart, for he has overcome the world.
Do you have an issue with anger? Look at your heart. Do you have an issue with self-control? An issue with gambling? Do you keep cycling in and out of the same sin? Well, it's a heart issue. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life, the Bible says. The issues of life are heart issues.
Don't be intimidated by the magnitude of the temptation around you. Don't be frightened by the size of the enemy. Instead, take up your weapons. Take up prayer. Take up the Word of God. Take up joy and peace in the midst of adversity. These are the things that the devil can't stand.
I believe that the reason we should not let our hearts be troubled can be found in John chapter 14, verse 6, which reads, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you move on further to read John chapter 14, verse 16, the Bible says, And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And so from these two verses, we know that if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, then you have accepted the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. There is nothing that he does not regulate. There is nothing that he is unaware of. He is the answer. He is the solution for all things. And the fact that he has given us a helper, the wonderful Holy Spirit, this means that we have help in times of trouble. We have strength in times of weakness, and we have guidance in times of uncertainty. So do not let your heart be troubled. Because if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if we submit to his ruling authority in our hearts, then you and I become like sheep to the Good Shepherd.
If you know what's coming, you can prepare. That's why the Bible says, take up the whole armor of God. That way, you'll be able to withstand in the evil day. We have to be ready. We have to know what's coming. We need a strategy in place. And above all, we have to trust in the Lord. David said that some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but that's not where we as children of God place our trust. We trust in Jesus. Some will run to underground bunkers. Some will trust in science. And some trust in doctors. But when you find yourself in a place where your well-being is attacked, your health is being attacked, and the doctors can't do anything for you, your future is being attacked, your stability is under attack, and your resources are being attacked, you will quickly realize that you need to be able to call on a higher power. And all of a sudden, the Bible matters, because you have to now find what the full armor mentioned in Ephesians 6 is. You've got to know God's word so that you can stand in faith and declare his promises. You've got to know how to pray. You've got to have some substance about you, some conviction behind your faith.
So what does the evil day look like for you? Maybe it's a day when you are tempted to fall back into addiction. Maybe it's a day when the devil preys on your biggest insecurities and makes you feel worthless. Maybe it's a day when someone close to you, someone you trust, does you wrong, and you have the urge to revenge. These are the days when our faith is put to the test, and we have to make a conscious decision to keep following Jesus, no matter the cost. You are not without help. God is on your side. He is actually rooting for you and giving you the ability to overcome. He has filled you with his Holy Spirit, which is able to conquer every force of darkness.
In Proverbs 16, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans." The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. There is no way that you can head into the unknown without Jesus. There's just no way. There's no way you can be at peace with an unknown future where anything can happen without Jesus. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what the year holds. You just don't know who or what's going to knock at your door. Some people had plans and unemployment knocked on their door. Some people were working hard to achieve certain things when sickness knocked on the door. Others were good, enjoying life, until uncertainty and anxiety all knocked on the door of their lives. So what do you do? What will you do?
When you're in a storm, it's time to focus on the Word of God. It's time to focus on prayer. It's time to focus on worship.
Before we go any further, we should first define what we're talking about when we say faith. The word faith has many definitions and connotations. For some, the word suggests belief. To many people, their faith is equivalent to the belief that they hold. For instance, the belief that Jesus is the Son of God, or that he died and rose from the dead, is central to many Christians' idea of faith. For others, faith represents a more general stance. It's about hope and recognition of something greater than ourselves. So someone can say, "I have faith that it will work out," or "I have faith that I will get the job." This is less of a spiritual stance and more of a general statement of hope. Finally, there is the sense of faith that is trust. The Greek word for faith in the New Testament is pistis, and it could just as readily be translated to the word trust. In this sense, faith is about a relationship with a person. It is about trusting in God to fulfill your needs and guide your life. In truth, faith is all of these things. It encompasses beliefs, hopes, but most importantly, trust. Trust in the God whom you have a relationship with.
Resistance means struggling. And likewise for us as Christians, to build our strength, to build our faith, we need to resist the devil. We need to go through some struggles. We need to fight against the tempting ways of this world. And believe me, it's a fight. It's a fight when your spirit man is saying no, but your flesh is saying yes. It's a fight when you want and need to be strong, but you feel so weak. It's a fight to press on when you feel like giving up. And I encourage you, don't you dare give up. Luke 10:17 says, I have given you authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, you may not be trampling over serpents and scorpions, but you can be trampling over weakness, trampling over temptations, trampling over sinful desires. Life is truly about choices. Where are your choices leading you? Will you accept that this is a struggle but choose to still believe God for a way out? Will you still choose to worship, to pray? Yesterday is in the past, and yes, we struggle with our decisions, but we have power over the enemy. We have been given power to defeat anything and everything that may tempt us to make the wrong choice and risk our relationship with God. And so understand me, it's okay to struggle with making the right decisions, but remember that although you may struggle, ultimately you have the power to overcome and be triumphant.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2. Your second line simplified.